Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you've been on our campus for the past few years anyway, you would have been able to watch the importance of having a good foundation to a building. As Hunsey Hall was going up, groundbreaking took place back in June of 2008. Think how long ago that was. And this is the first semester now that we have been able to use that building. And for many months, there was just a big hole in the ground and a lot of work being done below the surface of the ground. It was all being done on the footings and the foundation and so on. I remember one day standing by the chain link fence watching some of that basement construction going on, and somebody in the group that was looking there said, "Man, it sure seems like it's taken a long time." In order to have a firm, strong building, you must have a firm foundation as well. St. Paul uses that imagery today in the text before us to describe the spiritual building of God's house, those who've been brought to faith in Christ and trust in him. And in the same way that one of our earthly buildings must have these, have this firm foundation beneath it, so it is, as we just sang in the hymn, so it is with this spiritual house of God. The church of God is built upon Christ, St. Paul tells us, upon his word, upon his very work on our behalf, and also then upon the writings and words of his apostles, those he sent out with the wonderful message of salvation, the apostles and prophets. This forms then the great foundation for the church of God in this world. And if anyone attempts to build a church of God apart from this foundation, Scripture tells us it is a building that will be defective and fall apart. In ancient times, a cornerstone was a very important stone, not in so much that it supported the walls that sat upon it, but more so for the fact that it was cut so perfectly, so squarely at 90-degree angles. And this stone had to be set down first so that everything would line up from it. There was a precision involved. And if you did not start with a nice square stone, the walls would often be out of sync with each other. And St. Paul uses this imagery of Christ as the cornerstone. He is the perfect, precise Savior and Redeemer that we need. And all of those who are now brought to faith in him are fitted together. And if you were to remove him, everything would be out of sync and the walls would fall apart. Likewise, the foundation that St. Paul describes of the apostles and prophets, they still speak to us today, even though they're not with us physically, even though they're dead and gone for many, many years. But through their writings, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they are still alive among us today, speaking the word of God to us, by which we likewise are brought to faith. Scripture, the scripture that God used them to write, is never out of style. It is always relevant. It's one thing that amazes me as I teach religion classes here on campus is just how continually relevant the Word of God is through all time. It deals with the most important issues of life. It deals with matters of the heart and of the conscience and matters of eternity. Now, upon this firm foundation of Christ and the apostles, St. Paul says that God now begins to build his church and to bring in believers to trust in Christ. If you've ever watched bricklayers, how they go about their work, they take from a pile of bricks one at a time and put it carefully into place in the building on top of the fresh mortar that's been laid. They take their trowel and with their hand they scrape away the excess mortar and so on. And each brick is personally touched to be put into that wall. The bricks don't just get up out of the pile and jump into the wall by themselves. And so it is with this building as well, the Church of God. All of us who are the stones, the bricks, to be put into this edifice of God had to be selected one at a time by the hand of the Holy Spirit through His Word. Coming to faith in Christ and being built into His church is not something the stones do by themselves. It is something that God must do through the work of the ministry of His Word in this world, by which He selects those stones and now puts them in their proper place. And the way this is done is this. God the Holy Spirit is not only the architect and the contractor, but also the bricklayer. And He comes to each one of us in our lives through that Word of God, through the Word about Christ, and He selects us and pulls us apart from the pile. And He first of all teaches us to see our sinfulness. He teaches us to face the reality of our fallen condition, and not to go through life blindly thinking that somehow our lives are going to be so good that God's going to let us into heaven someday. The Holy Spirit, first of all, in building us into this wall, causes us to see by His work that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul wrote to the Romans. And as Isaiah said, all our righteousness, all our goodness before God is as filthy rags. If any of us have any hope of getting to heaven someday, it sure can't come from me. It sure can't come from you, because our lives are just dripping with guilt. But that same Holy Spirit that teaches us this real image of ourselves before God and His justice also comes along with the sweet message of Christ our Savior, and describes for us how our Lord Jesus, the Son of God Himself, took on human flesh in order to go to the cross and be the very vicarious, substitutionary sacrifice that had to be made to make atonement for every sin that you and I or the whole world has ever committed. So that I could now stand in front of you on behalf of God from heaven and declare that all of our sins, all of your sins, have been forgiven in His presence. And through faith in Christ now, we are brought into this Church of God. Gravity and mortar is really ultimately what holds a building together. And that is what faith is then in this picture Paul gives us. Those who've been brought to understand that their only hope of getting to heaven can be by God doing it for them in Christ, and who cling to Him for the forgiveness of sins, they now are the bricks in this wonderful edifice. Back in the 1960s, it was common for architects to design buildings. In order to have a large brick wall look like it had some life to it, they would use a variety of brick colors to try to give a little bit of life to the edifice. That's kind of a wonderful picture of the Holy Christian Church throughout the world. People of all races and tongues and nationalities who've been brought by faith to Christ are now part of this beautiful building. And St. Paul says then to those who believe in Him, you are fellow citizens with the saints. Notice whenever God describes His church of believers in Scripture, He always uses these all-inclusive pictures and word pictures. A flock of sheep, fish that are gathered together in a net, guests at a wedding banquet, wheat, stalks of wheat out in a field, members of a family, and even here now, stones built together in a building. And the construction of God's holy church in this world is ongoing. Notice the present tense, Paul writes. You are also being built together. And that construction is going to go on till the final day when the last brick that God selects is put into place, and then the end will come. And this building alone will survive the final destruction of all things in this world, especially the storm of Judgment Day. Now, what more grand wording could the Holy Spirit use to describe those of us who believe in Christ? What higher, more lofty, and special status could he give us than to call us fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God? What a blessing it is to be part of his church. By his grace, amen.